I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity to be together in this fashion. Even though it's not the most perfect, God has provided it. I was thinking of the generations before us, if they had to go through a pandemic, they were pretty well isolated and could not meet together, no doubt. But we're blessed this morning to be able to hear each other's voices and sing these songs together, though we're not together. So we thank the Lord for his great goodness and mercy unto us. This is our first message for this year, 2022. It's still fairly a young year, only 9 days into it. So we can still count it that it's a new year. There is always something about this time of the year that in the past it has been exciting to me. And knowing that the old year is passed away and that we have an opportunity to see something fresh and new and make changes in our life, hope for a new year. So with the passing, though, of an old year and a looking forward to a new year, we know what the word says, that we don't know what a day will bring forth, and certainly we don't know what a week or a month or any time. Tomorrow, we don't know what it will bring forth. So as we stand at the threshold of this year, there's a mystery before us, and we could even say there is a veil that we are not able to look beyond. And so I know of people right now that are anticipating this year. They're looking forward with anticipation. Right now, there are plans being made for a wedding. And maybe they're already getting their invitations ready. There's a date that is set on a calendar. And so there's some excitement looking forward. On the other hand, there is the birth of a baby or several babies being anticipated. Hope that the year will provide or fulfill an addition to a family. So they're looking forward with expectations also. I believe there's anticipation and looking forward to other events. Maybe events that are on calendars already set for this year. I know there's camp meetings that have already been on the calendar now for some time. So there are people that are looking forward to going to camp meeting this year, and there are many other events that may have already been planned, and they're anticipating what might happen this year. There might be plans for birthdays and family holidays and family get-togethers and family reunions, and that's a good thing. And people are looking forward to certain events for this year. And there might be someone that is planning a retirement this year. And they're really looking forward. Maybe they're counting the days. Well, I have only this many days left. And so that is something that is on the calendar, and people are looking forward to that. I wonder if you have noted the things that I have named are generally happy things, things that we would enjoy if the time is permitted. Sometimes when we pray, we say, Lord, if you permit time to go on and this happens, you know, we'll add that to our prayer. Well, that's the only way that we can anticipate this year is to say, Lord, if you allow time to go on, then we hope to go to camp meeting. We hope to have our wedding. We hope for our baby to be born. And we hope for all of these good and happy things to happen. But everything that happens in a year is not always happy. God allows some sorrow, and he allows heartache, disaster, calamities. That's all part of life. So we don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what this year will bring forth. There could be a lot of what ifs. What if this happens or that happens? And maybe it's not a happy thing. And yet you and I have to look back on even just the last year. And how did we make it through that year? I was looking in my diary for my income tax purposes, which I don't like. But nonetheless, it drew my attention to what I wrote in my diary at the beginning of last year. And it's already been a year since I wrote that. The things I wrote down were very alarming. And I know that we all have felt the alarm of 1 year ago because we all prayed about it. We were calling on the Lord not only for the political things that were happening in our society, but we were calling on the Lord because of the COVID and the pandemic, and we were going into something that we hadn't experienced before. So it wasn't necessarily the best year. And I've heard a number of people say that 2021 was a rough year. I've heard that said a number of times. And yet, when you and I look back, and we have to make a judgment call. We have to say, well, maybe it was a rough year, but where was our hope? And where was our help? We need to judge the past year on what the Word says. Goes along with our Sunday school lesson this morning, being contented. We had trust that the Lord was going to help us, and he did. We have testimonies that the Lord has healed, has touched our bodies in many different ways. He's fought our battles for us. So God is still God. And we're so thankful for the Word of God and for the faithfulness of God and for the fact that he changes not. So now we're anticipating another year, and we don't know what the future holds, but you and I can be contented, and we can be happy that God knows. The song says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. So that's where we can stand today, be at the threshold of a mystery, veiled. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we can trust that God is going to be there. He's not going to allow us to pass through anything harder than what we can bear. We stand on the promises. Thank the Lord. So I do want us to each one be encouraged by analyzing for yourself how God helped us this last year. The song is very appropriate. Seems like we've used it before at the beginning of a year. We sing it down through a year. And the verse that says in the song, change and decay in all around I see. But, oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. So God's grace, has it been sufficient for you this year? When we see sin abound, have we been seeing sin abound? We have. I believe we could all testify to that. Have we been able to testify and say, God's grace has been sufficient for me? It has kept me. I remember after Lauren passed, and the Lord speaking this to me, and he reminded me yesterday of these words, and he said to me, I want you to demonstrate my grace. And I believe that's calling, God's calling for all of us to demonstrate the grace of God this year, the power of God to keep us. So this morning we have some verses and some thoughts, and it's all coming from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's probably not a favorite book, but there's a lot of things in there that should speak to us in the coming year. The message of the book of Ecclesiastes has a key word. If you read it through, you will find certain words that are repeated over and over. One of those words is vanity. All is vanity. And what that word means, ultimately, the purpose of it, saying it that way, we may look at it and interpret it as worthless and all of that. But the writer actually has an underlying message in the book of Ecclesiastes. And that message is that the futile emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. The whole world is trying to be happy and reject God and his plan and his the plan for real happiness. So when the writer, when Solomon puts in there, vanity, all is vanity, that's what he's trying to say. These things are all vanity unless you have the Lord. Isn't that what we said about the past year? How could we have come through the past year if we did not have the Lord? If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? Songs that speak those kind of messages, we can raise our hand and we can know that God is the only reason that I can be where I am today. I can find that godliness with contentment. I can be happy. I can trust and not be afraid. So that's the essence of the book of Ecclesiastes. Another phrase that is said, he says it often, if you read it, I saw under the sun. Well, that just speaks of life going on. The first part of Ecclesiastes, it said the sun comes up and the sun goes down. And we never have to worry that the sun is really going to burn up. Because even though the scientists say it should burn up in so many billions of years or whatever it is, I personally never stop and look at the sun and say, I wonder if I'll be alive when it burns up. No, we know that day in and day out, God set it all in motion and it's going to stay in motion. Thank the Lord. We can trust in that. So as we began to think about and especially the underlying message of how that it's futile, it's emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. It made me think of the scripture over in Psalms 73, written by David. We're just going to read a few of the verses, 2 through 5, and verse 12, 16 through 18, 26 and 28. So we're just going to skip through there and pick out some of the main thoughts that David had concerning how futile it is. Oh, you don't feel that way sometimes. He didn't. So it started out with verse 2, and it said, "But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, as we face a new year, let's get our eyes off of the world. Let's focus on the Word of God more than we've ever focused before. Let's read it, get it in our hearts. Let's believe it. Let's trust in it. Let's look away from the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, and he made this judgment. He said, "There's no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." What's he doing? He's comparing how the world comes to their end and how sometimes you and I might come to our end. And he said, "They are not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." You know, I think sometimes the enemy would like to convince us that the world is happier than we are, but they're not. If we knew the truth, if we knew what was going on in every household, if we knew what was happening to the children, to families, I tell you, I believe we would count ourselves happy. The world is not happy. There's trouble and sorrow and grief. The enemy tries to keep us from seeing those things in the world. He wants us to be so focused on our battles or our afflictions. But remember, we had a series of messages on the voice of the Lord. And the Lord is wanting to speak to us in every event, every detail of our life, because he's in control. Thank the Lord. And it goes on now to verse 12. "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches." Let's go to verse 16 now. "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God and then understood their end. I understood it then. Skip down to verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That's where we have to think, how we have to think. We have to focus on what God is to us. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever failed me? If we're honest and truthful, we can truthfully say he has never failed. Thank the Lord. Then verse 28. "But it is good for me to draw near to God." Isn't that precious? "I have put my trust in the Lord God, and that I may declare his works." Oh, God is so good. And he's been good to us, and he will continue to be good to us. And yet his word has so much to say to us. Oh, we love encouraging messages, don't we? Don't we love it when we read the parts that are just uplifting? Life is not going to be a bowl of cherries. It's not going to be flowery beds of ease. He's calling for you and me to face life as a good soldier, to fight the battles as a good soldier. And you know the song that says, "I've enlisted in the army until I die." Are you resolved to be there year after year? No matter how the year goes, how it ends up, where I might be, what kind of physical condition would I be in, what kind of material thing, what kind of financial burden would I be, whatever, we can rest in the Lord and endure to the end of time. Thank the Lord. So this word Ecclesiastes also means preacher. And there's a Latin form that means speaker, or one who addresses before an assembly or a congregation or a church. So I am presuming that the words of Ecclesiastes, those words were probably given to a congregation. It wasn't just written down and passed down through the years and preserved, and now you and I have it and we can read it, and that's good. That's how we can learn, is by having the Word of God to fill us with his thoughts and his instructions and so forth. So, but the word Ecclesiastes means preacher. So I read that that Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes from a human perspective. Now, he was the wisest man. He had many observations. He learned a lot by his observations, but he did a lot from human thinking and judgment of human life and life itself. But it said that when the book is understood from God's perspective, not the human perspective, I'd be like David then. I would see and look and be discouraged because of the success of the wicked. But I had to look back and remember that God was my strength. So when we look at it from God's perspective, it says that life takes on a very different meaning. We understand it with a different perspective and a different purpose. I can see it with a different purpose. So I want to share some of the scriptures out of the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. And I'm seeing that we can grasp the meaning of life and even the result of life can affect us and our choices. So a lot of this is just skipping around, and I've compiled just certain verses that seem to be inspired to me. But I'll start with some very familiar scripture in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to be using some of the reference words on it. It seems like it opens it up sometimes a little bit. I may be paraphrasing somewhat, but we don't want to move away from the essence of the message in Ecclesiastes. So starting in the third chapter, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. Well, we can look back over our lives, ever how long you've lived, every year of your life. There's been seasons, there's been times, there's been good times, there's been sad times. It all falls under this passage. All of the events of your life and my life. Some of you are young. You have what you may be anticipating, a long life ahead of you. Those of us that are old, I'm thinking about the scripture that says, I was once young. Now I'm paraphrasing some of it. And now I am old. But I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So whatever age we are today, ever how many years that you have accumulated and lived, you've got an understanding not only of the literal seasons of the year, natural seasons, spring, summer, winter, fall, but there are seasons of life, things that happen in life, partly because of my age. It affects my seasons, my age does. But anyway, so there's seasons and there are times to every purpose. And there is a time for birth. And I used some of this as I introduced the little thought this morning. Anticipation. There's nothing wrong with anticipation. God is putting little children in our lives and increasing our families, and we would want it to be that way. So that's part of the seasons and the times, is that there's a time for children to be born and there's a time then for death. And we live with birth and we live with death. Everyone that is born is not going to live forever. And so we all know that when a child is born, actually it's been said that when a child is born, they begin to die. For whatever time God allows in their life, that's the purpose. It's appointed. So there's a time for death. And then it says there is a season to plant. And there is a season to harvest. Well, you know, if you have a garden, if you've ever planted a garden, you're not planting it in a wrong season. If you plant it when it's too cold, it won't come up. If you plant it when it's too hot, it will not come up. Oh, if it does, it's stunted. But it has to be planted at a proper time. And so there is a time for planting, and then there is a time to harvest. And if you don't go out at the right time, it is spoiled. So that's part of life. We take these literal things and we apply them to our spiritual. You know, God, when he visits us, that's the time to respond. That's the time to seek. When he's knocking at our door. And then there's a time for me to respond. And then there's a time for me to start sowing. And the scripture uses the sowing and the reaping as part of my spiritual life. What I sow, I'm going to reap. There comes a time in my spiritual life that I begin to plant some seeds and expect a harvest. And it's a blessed harvest if it's done at the right time and in the right way and for the right reasons. So the scripture in Ecclesiastes, another scripture, it says, he that regardeth the wind shall not sow. This is literal. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. We can apply those things spiritually also. God is calling for us to many times look away from circumstances and press forward. And one of the scriptures that comes to my mind is the scripture that says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. It's not always going to be at a good time, but it's going to be at the right time. And it goes on and it says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. I have personally witnessed weeping and laughing at the same time. But generally, it's a very joyous occasion when that happens. We can be so thrilled or happy, maybe at a surprise, something we have desired and it's been provided, and we can laugh and we can weep all at the same time. But normally, that is not the case. Normally, my laughter can be turned to mourning with certain events in my life. And God uses every one of the events. He uses the happy times, the times that we're joyful. He uses the times when we are broken in heart and we are experiencing a grief and a sorrow. It's all part of life. Many of these things, if not all of these things, can possibly be in the next year, 2022. We don't know. But yet God is there. So the scripture says, a time of mourning. And I put in there, when the heart is heavy. And a time to dance. I've never really liked that scripture. But as I studied it, it says, when the heart is made light. So there's a time for all of this. It's a great mixture of life. And you and I will be tasting of these reactions, so to speak, our feelings. So we're skipping down to another chapter. It says there, no, I'm still in the same third chapter. There are times of embracing and times to refrain from embracing. A time to get or a time to lose, as well as a time to keep and a time to cast away. All of these are just part of our lives. There are times to keep silence, and there are times to speak. Oh, how we all need that. We need that wisdom to know when to keep our mouth shut and when to open it. And you know, if we have the Lord working in our life and we're seeking for Him, give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. You know, the Lord will help us. Oh, we may make a blunder. We may speak out of turn. We may have to go back and say, I'm sorry. But oh, take the help of the Lord, that we put our hand over our mouth when we should, and that we open it at the proper time, and it be a blessing from the Lord. Thank the Lord. There are times of sincere love. I've put that word in there, sincere love, because I want it to sort of be in contrast with the rest of that. And a time we must hate. I've not liked that one either. But when we understand the scripture and we understand both the word hate, you know, you and I are to hate sin. We're to abhor it. We're to see sin as exceedingly sinful. We must also hate evil. We hate the evil. We don't hate the person. We just hate the wickedness. God wants us to have a passion against evil. But he also wants us to love the good. He wants us to love all good things. The scripture says all good things come from the Father of lights. And we love that. And we have a passion that we want to respond to it with a divine love, a sincere love. Thank the Lord. And then you skip over to the New Testament, and Jesus gives us another picture of this love and hate. And he's speaking about us following after him. And he says, if you don't hate your mother and your father, your wife and your children, and your brother and your sister, and then he says, in your own life also, you can't follow him. So when we look at that scripture, we understand it's not the kind of hatred in the heart where I would commit murder. Oh, the enemy would like to confuse young people when they read this. It just simply means love them less than you love me. And you all know this, the testimony I've had in the beginning of when I got saved, never give up again. And the Lord spoke that to me. You can love Lorne all you want, just love me the most. So that's part of what we're facing this year. Guard our love. Guard our love for the Lord, that it be a supreme love. Because he says, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Thank the Lord. That will be our obedience. So now I'm going to skip to another chapter. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the days of your youth, what does that represent? Youth represents strength and vigor. you're ambitious. I believe the Lord wants us to be ambitious spiritually at all ages. We may have a different maturity level, and yet God is calling for it to always be pointed toward him, and he will be pointing toward us. So he says that young people need to remember their Creator while they're young and while they have vigor and while they're strong and their minds are strong. And don't we often hear, for you to memorize the scriptures when you're young, because it becomes harder the older you get. So there's a reason why the ecclesiastical writer has addressed this to a young person, because you haven't got old yet. And those that he called it before the evil days come. Well, it's not the kind of evil that evil represents. He means hard. Hard days come. You know, a lot of people, they talk about the golden years. And a lot of people that get up into the so-called golden years, they say it's not so golden. Oftentimes, you're more infirmed. Some people have trouble with their eyes and their ears and hearing and seeing and being able to be physically active like they once were. That is natural with the human body. We're coming down to the end of our life. But the address here is, while you're young, while you have youth, while you have strength of mind, while you have strength in your body, watch. I'm going to say that the addition to this is watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Life is full of temptations. All of your life. But if you overcome in your youth and you gain that strength and you gain that spiritual strength and you increase in the word of God in your mind, in your heart, because the scripture says that we're to hide his words in our heart that we might not sin against God. That's the time to start building on it. But let's read more. Before your death, in other words, remember him, when dust returns to earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now it goes to another thought. It says, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. So it starts out and it's addressing the young people while they're strong and vigorous. And now it's coming down to a man that is past middle age, coming down to even maybe closer to older age. And it says, be glad that you had the life you had. Enjoy the memory of those good times. And I think we do. I think most people that have had a good life, they enjoy remembering the good things in life. But the advice is, remember the dark days. There has always been times of dark days. It's natural. It will happen. You'll pass through them. The saints of God, the children of God, pass through darkness. And another scripture says to remember the treasures of darkness. We found some treasures when we passed through those dark days. When we fought the battles, when we won, when we gained the victory, we reaped the spoil of the dark days. Thank the Lord. But it's good for us to remember the dark days because the word says that here. The next verse says, not in that same place, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oh, there's times when we're past our youth and we're gaining in maturity and we're growing a little bit older and we do prosper. It's almost like sometimes everything you set your hand to at this particular age of life, at this season of life, that it may not turn to gold, but it you're prospering. Material things, financial things. You're able to work the overtime. You're able to give your strength to support your family. But at the same time, God is wanting our spiritual prosperity the most. Don't forget, in the midst of life itself and gaining in for your family, don't forget, keep hold on the Lord for your spiritual prosperity. But in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. So this next year, we may find ourselves in good shape in certain material ways or even spiritually. But it says, if you face adversity, consider. If you face adversity spiritually, stop and take the time to consider. It's always good to turn to the Lord if you feel even accused. We know the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And yet we may have those kind of battles from time to time. What do we do with it? Well, it's just the devil. Well, what if it's the Lord? What if the Lord is trying to speak to me and you, and we're not really responding with, Lord, what's happening to me? I know, I'll just confess this, but there's times I don't feel anointed in the message. I'm struggling. I believe every minister does, but I don't disregard it. Oftentimes, I'm not out of the parking lot, and I'm crying out to the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, is there something wrong with me? I want you to search me. I want you to examine me. Did I fail in some way? I don't believe the Lord is an accuser, but he wants us. He's a convictor. He wants to convict us if we need correction. So I believe that that's a way that this scripture can be applied. And it goes ahead and it says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. See, it goes back to considering and remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. And now it says for you to rejoice. But there's something that's a warning in it, because it goes on and it says, let your heart cheer you. And then it says, walk in the ways of thine heart. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Because we're supposed to be walking in the ways of the Lord. It also said to walk in the sight of thine eyes. And then there's a colon, because it has an additional thought. And it says, but know thou this, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So I need to keep in mind, God is going to judge me. I'm facing eternity. I need to weigh, you know, Brother Joseph preached this message about the scales. And God being on, all of the plan of God is perfect. And here we are on the other balance beam scale. And then if I make wrong choices, it causes the balance beam to be off and out of balance. So the scripture here is saying, don't lose sight of eternity. And I think for the coming year, we really need to keep our vision pointed toward the eastern sky. Why do I say the eastern sky? Because that's where he's going. The scripture says that's where he's coming back. When the trump will sound, that's where you and I will be looking. But let's keep it in our minds that we're going to face the judgment. If I walk after my heart's desire, if I walk after the sight of my eyes and all of these things, I got to keep something in my mind. Then it goes on, exhorts us, therefore put away evil, for childhood, and then one reference said prime of life. Are quickly gone. Now, this is another reference. Are quickly gone and short-lived. So as we put away evil, we need to also remember life goes by awful fast. Even for children, it goes by fast. Time just can slip through our hands as though pouring water out. And all of a sudden, here I am. Where did time go? How many people has said that even this last year? Where did time go? He wants us to remember that time is slipping away quickly. Then the writer says, I saw under the sun, that the race is not won by the swift. This is my translation. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. And then I said, for this is not your normal race. Now, it's not like two people or a group of people getting out and running a race and one person wins. Though the scripture says that they all run in a race, but only one wins the prize. Well, it's not just one person in the group that's going to win. They can all win. It's the race against my soul and eternity, my soul and the devil, my soul and the evil temptations, yielding to temptation. There's the winning. I can win. But it won't be because I'm the fastest. It's because I've trusted in the Most High God to help me to overcome. So the writer here is speaking about a race, and it's not just to the one that's the fastest runner. And at all, he also observed that the strongest man doesn't always win the battle. We can't trust in ourselves and our spirit. Oh, I am so strong spiritually. I'm going to win this battle. No, it's a total dependency upon God. The scripture tells us the battle is the Lord's. He will fight it for us. He will bring us out to victory. So it's not because I'm someone strong spiritually, or certainly not physically. But he says, I saw that time and chance happens to them all. Then it came down to the end, and it says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This next year, this conclusion, I hope it will be with each one of us, that we won't forget this one throughout this whole year. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is every man's duty. For, and I put in, or because God will bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'd like to end this morning with the beginning of Ecclesiastes, just a little bit there. I want to remind us of something that it says. In the beginning of Ecclesiastes, he starts out and he says, the generations come and the generations depart. And they have. I am of a part of a last generation in this time world. But there's been many generations come and go before me. Generations among the saints. People that were maybe middle-aged and old when I was young. People, saints that were examples that pointed us toward the right things. I remember Sister Souter when she was infirmed and was in that condition several years. I went over nearly every day after school and helped them. And one day she must have been feeling like that her end was not that far away, though it was. But she talked to me and she says, Maxine, when I am gone, remember that I will be beckoning for you to come. Well, that was in her lifetime. In reality, she was beckoning me right then. So the generations of the past, or the older generation to you younger people right now, Our lives want to be a beacon of light to the younger people. And I want to profess and confess how I love you young people. I'm so happy for the little children in our congregation, for the babies. That lets us know life's going on. And we have a hope that they will be a part of the family of God. Thank the Lord. So he says here in the first part, generations come and generations go. And he says, the thing that hath been is that which shall be. There are no new things under the sun. So you that are younger, remember, you'll probably fight the same battles that the older ones have fought. You'll have to fight for the same victories that they had. You'll have to have the same faith. Oh, we've had a message not long ago on a measure of trust and a measure of faith. We don't compare our faith to one another, but always let your faith and your trust grow. That's how you will make it. And then the preacher, or Ecclesiastes, said, God will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. That's, we all know that. But he's going to judge us even in our righteousness. He wants to be pleased. He wants to shower us with his blessings. He wants to keep your soul. He is the keeper of our soul, and he is the lover of your soul. And then lastly, the preacher says, Ecclesiastes, wisdom strengtheneth the wise man more than 10 mighty men. That's a scripture. Did you know that? Be wise. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Take the wisdom that comes from above. That's the wisdom we seek for. And it says that kind of wisdom will strengthen you more than 10 mighty men. And then we go over to the New Testament and it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with, no, this is in Psalms, I think. I said that wrong. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Oh, may the Lord bless us all. I believe this is the message the Lord wants us to go into 2022 and apply to our lives. Lord, help us all.